I believe this is the same for interviews as well and career fairs. Know the top five companies you want to talk to, but I wouldn't go talk to your number one choice first. Talk to someone, your fifth choice or your sixth choice, and get your pitch down and feel comfortable. You may be practicing your pitch, you know, for weeks going into a career fair. Prototyping is important, even in the abstract sense.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
My name is Jackie Sly, and I am a mechanical engineer at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. My specialty is robotics, even you could say extreme environmental robotics if you wanted to read my business card verbatim. But I work in underwater robotics, high temperature robotics. If it's out of the norm, I'm there. And my primary focus is hardware development.
And Jet Propulsion Lab, also called JPL, correct, is a division of NASA.
Oh, yes, yes. We are a federally funded research center. And that means that Caltech is managing us, but for the most part, we're working for NASA and working for the U.S. government. But we are not civil servants, as my boss continues to tell me.
And what does JPL mean to you?
JPL is a really special place. It's a place I worked in high school. I was really fortunate. JPL has this funding occasionally. It comes in waves. But I was a high school intern at JPL, which, you know, let's not give high school me too much credit. I was doing really basic work. I was doing some database programming. I was running some repetitive tests, but it was a really amazing opportunity. So to come full circle like this, you know, to have had that opportunity, really, I grew a lot. And I think that was a big experience that led me to apply to MIT and to go there and to do some of the research I did as an undergraduate. To come back to JPL is in a way, pretty special. In fact, even I run twice a week behind lab, and the mentor I had when I was 17 does mountain biking behind our laboratory. We're based up in the Pasadena foothills, and I always hear him yell, "Hi, Jackie," and I yell back, "Hi, Elvis." So to have known someone professionally for that long is really special, but to also watch our relationship grow from a mentor relationship to something more akin to a peership is really special. So in a lot of ways, JPL is home, and you know, it's not bad that I get to build really cool hardware. So,
and you mentioned MIT. Most obviously listeners know what MIT is, but for those who don't, because I don't want to leave anyone out, what is MIT?
Ah, fantastic. In addition to being Matt Damon's second home, if anyone's seen Good Will Hunting, MIT is the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. It's based in Boston. We're known for our engineering programs, and it was my dream school when I was a kid. So getting in and finding the courage to move across the country really was a special thing for me.
And when did you become interested in tech?
Oh, gosh. I feel like I was born with a computer mouse in one hand. But I appreciate that this came from having tech-minded parents, and I try to give back to this community that's created my own success by working with students. I think, you know, it's easy to find tech when both your parents speak the language, but as long as you have a role model or someone who looks like you, talks like you, sounds like someone you could see yourself growing up to be, I think you can follow that path. So I got to kind of poke around with computers at an early age, and my parents were encouraging, but not forceful. And I think my really the memory that catalyzes everything is I worked really hard about a Lego Mindstorms robotics kit with my preteen babysitting money. And I built a printer that would hold a pen. I say printer because ultimately the end product was a piece of paper with my name written on it, like a printed page. But it really wasn't a printer so much as a handwriting machine, and it would write my name out with a pen, which was really fun. That was one of the first things I built. And then in high school, there's a really amazing program called FIRST Robotics. I was on my FIRST Robotics team at high school, the only girl, and that was a really amazing experience. It was a trying experience occasionally, but I learned a lot of things about who I am as a person and what types of teams I like to work with. That being said, I did have a really positive experience in the end. It's just good to see and see everything that's offered out there and learn how your personality clicks with other personalities. I've had a lot of really great teams I've worked for, so I can't say enough about how positive those experiences were, but I think as we look back at the way tech is currently, I can't deny that I've had some negative experiences as well. But I think
what made it trying?
It was definitely hard to command respect. I was one of the younger members of the team and the only girl, and the rest of the team definitely weren't always friendly to my ideas. And what changed that situation was I continued to put forward my ideas, and at some point they were recognized for technical merit. At that point, they were like, oh, you know, Jackie's got some good ideas. But it was a lot of hit and miss before that. And I realize now as I try to be an ally and be supportive of my own interns, of my peers and of myself, you know, I'm just starting my career. I realize that you shouldn't have to be, you know, hitting 50 home runs before someone recognizes you as a good baseball player. So,
and who was your mentor in getting to where you are today?
Oh, wow. I've had a lot of great mentors. There was an alum who was involved with the student clubs and teams. His name is Ed Moriarty, and he was formerly an instructor, but not a professor. And I met Ed as a freshman, and he was involved with this marine robotics team I spoke to, the student group. And Ed, in a lot of ways, like you, Esprit, put in more hours than I could ever imagine was humanly possible. To Ed, it was so important to develop the sense of community and to instill in people the engineering approach. So Ed constantly asked hard questions. And later on, as I ended, I was leading the team, and I had students that I was mentoring, freshmen, sophomores. I always remember the first time I met Ed, because Ed was blunt and he'd, you know, ask you to defend your ideas right away. And he asked questions that really turned ideas on their head. And he was a great person to run a design by, because if there was a flaw in the design, Ed was going to find it. And his love of instilling that passion in others, the passion for engineering and what it can do to change the world. He was constantly working with students. I had the opportunity to travel to Alaska with Ed to work with some students. We worked with students who were from lower income communities in Boston at their high schools, teaching them robotics. Everyone can learn robotics. You just have to like computers and want to learn. And you know what? I've spent plenty of time teaching people about robotics who were not very interested in learning about robotics, and they still learned some really core principles. And I think they left those experiences wanting to know more. So Ed was my mentor. He taught me to ask the hard questions and to give back to the community and to really spend some time talking to students, because not everyone has a great home life with a good mom and dad who support them. But I think it's really important for those students to have adults in their community who express to them, you know, I believe in you, I see value in you. And those adults don't always have to be from generations far removed. I think it's really powerful when someone in their late 20s or early 30s reaches out to a high school student and says, yeah, your ideas are great and you're going to do awesome. And I want to see you succeed, even though I'm not your parent figure.
How do you overcome challenges?
Oh, man. Overcoming challenges, how do I overcome them? I think preparation is important. And at some point, you overprepare. So at some point you have to pull the trigger and make that phone call or make the presentation, submit the proposal. It's done. There's no other amount of time or work that you can put into it. But I like to ask people who know more than me for advice as well. So I'm definitely an over-preparer, but pull the trigger because you're going to learn a lot from that first attempt. I can't believe we've gotten this far and I haven't used the word prototype. But just like with hardware, you know, ideas or approach to challenges, you come up with a prototype and you're going to test that. You're going to apply it and see how that works. So if you're trying to overcome the obstacles of finding funding or, you know, even if you wanted to, let's say, buy a used car. I love helping my friends buy cars. I love negotiating. You should call a dealership you're not interested in buying a car from first and get a practice run in and get those butterflies out. And I believe this is the same for interviews as well and career fairs. Know the top five companies you want to talk to. But I wouldn't go talk to your number one choice first. Talk to someone, your fifth choice or your sixth choice, and get your pitch down and feel comfortable. You may be practicing your pitch, you know, for weeks going into a career fair. Prototyping is important even in the abstract sense. So,
was there ever a point you recognized the track you were on was going in a direction that you didn't want to go to and so you changed the track?
I was thinking about going to grad school and it's not off the table. I think that graduate school is so important. But I was also running pretty quickly towards a burnout. I spent my undergraduate years working my ass off in a way that, you know, got me to where I was, but also required me to take a break. Now, it would be foolish of me to try to imply that JPL is a break. It's still a lot of work, but it's not the absurd hour output that I was running at as an undergrad, and I think I would have carried that into grad school. So, you know, the most significant pivot I've taken so far is someone who, you know, freshman day one, I would have happily told anyone that I was, you know, going to grad school after undergrad, and that was the way it was going to be, and maybe I would be a professor. And, you know, those are things that I still think about, and I think would be, you know, they're still on the table. They would be great, but stepping out into industry has been really helpful. I've really got to refine my group project skills. You know, I had some project experience from school, but it's nothing like working in a real team. And I thought I was prepared, but I've learned so many things. I've been doing this for about 2.5 years now. I've had 2 interns. I've worked on, I think, upwards of 6 different projects. And it's been incredibly exciting. But grad school is definitely still on the radar. I'm glad I gave myself the opportunity to really apply my undergraduate knowledge and see what it was like to be a professional engineer. So that if I go back to grad school, I've got that context. And I would encourage everyone, I think it's important to step out for a year or 2 years from the educational track to give yourself space between undergraduate school, if only because you may be rushing towards the degree set that prepares you for an industry you're not interested in, or you may through those years learn of industry you want to go back and instead of getting a grad degree, you're like, actually, I want to get a second undergrad degree, which sounds expensive in this economy, but there is a way to make it work.
Which woman in tech inspires you?
Oh, man. There are a lot of really amazing women in tech, and I've had a chance to meet a lot of cool people. Someone I don't think she's on the audience's radar because she's my best friend. Her name is Mary Breton. She's similarly in the beginning of her career. She works at IBM. She's a materials engineer. But that woman will call me anytime she gets a promotion or a raise. And what a great thing to hear in the middle of the workday. She's on the East Coast, so these calls usually come in the middle of my workday. And it's such a hustler. I know that she's working hard and kicking butt. She's going to grad school part-time while she is working and she's getting all this new responsibility. You know, I call her up and I say, Mary, this exciting thing happened. So sharing each other's successes is really what I appreciate in that friendship. I see her as someone who instills a lot of confidence in me. And is someone that I can share openly with about my success. And we raise each other up. So that's incredibly important when you know, there are forces, negative forces that may want to tear you down. I've heard a lot of really smart women talk about the importance of feeling pride and not feeling that you are boasting or having an ego by acknowledging your successes. So having a best friend who acknowledges her successes and then also my own is really powerful.
Is Mary on Twitter, or how can people connect with her and get to know her more?
I don't know if she's on Twitter. I think she has an Instagram, but I think she's a pretty private person. But
got it.
I want to say that IBM's been making some promotional videos and that she's been in one of those. I think I saw some clips. So if you want to check out what IBM is doing in terms of women at IBM, I know that they've had a video series and that some really amazing women have been featured. Perhaps Mary is one of them. But we'll just have to wait to see when she launches her own IBM, and then we'll all get to know her then.
What's next for you?
I'm going to keep working at JPL. They've done good by me, and I'd like to see some more of my hardware really get built, and I am looking forward to upcoming field tests. You know, they're a couple of years out, projected field tests of hardware that I'm working on right now, but I really need to deploy a robot in the field. That's what's going to bring me the most happiness. And I mentioned before that this collection of ocean data is important to me. I see it as an important way that we understand the world we live in and what we've ourselves, you know, changed about this world. So a deployed robot that is actively collecting data and reporting back, that's really important to me. So I hope to accomplish that in the next 3 to 5 years, and I'll let you know if it happens.
Jackie, thank you so much for being on the Women in Tech show. It's really, really, really inspiring having you discussing the world of robotics, which, you know, not many people are in, at least not in the immediate tech space. Like, it's really like a specialized industry. So it's exciting to share your story.
Thanks much for having me, Esprit. I look forward to hearing from your listeners and seeing what else comes of the show.
Totally. Thank you.
Oh, yay. Have a good time, guys.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech show is a WeAreTech.fm production.